There's a boogeyman outside your door, mimicking your voice, tapping on your windows. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. In today's episode, we are once again exploring the creepy and downright unexplainable world of skinwalkers. Joining me today is my good friend Jensen. I know I featured him in a few videos recently, but it really would mean a lot if you check out his channel. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that truly help keep this channel going. Now, without further ado, let us get into these creepy and allegedly true skinwalker horror stories. This story started off when I was 9 years old, on a Cub Scout camping trip. Privacy reasons, I will not state the pack number or my name, but I will say this happened in Colorado. I believe what I saw was a skinwalker at the time. I didn't know much about these things or what they were, until I started listening to Swamp Dweller's videos, and I think I can say, confidently, that what I saw was a skinwalker. About a year ago, myself and other scouts found a rocky area near a camping site that our pack would go to twice a year. So on the last day of this trip, I thought I knew the way to the rocky area, so I decided to tell the other scouts to go ahead for me while I filled up my canteen and grabbed a little thing of goldfish, and then I started on my way. About 10 or so minutes later, I was confused because I thought I had gone the right way, but it seems that I didn't, because I couldn't find the rocky area. And as soon as I realized that I was lost, I got scared and started to tear up a little. After I realized this, I had also realized that the only thing I could hear was my breathing and crying. At the time, I didn't know what this meant, but I kept walking, trying to hopefully find my campsite or the rocky area to hopefully find the other scouts. I was walking around for a few more minutes, and I started crying after a little longer. Suddenly, I heard my mother's voice, but it was off, like coming through the radio or something. I didn't care. I called to it hoping to see my mom. Then, I smelt it. This smell was a cross of the spray of a skunk with rotting meat. The moment I smelt it, I ended up throwing up. I just couldn't hold it in. I looked up and then I saw it. It looked like a deer, but it was all wrong. It had legs of that of a human, but they were mangled. It almost made me want to retch again. When I made eye contact with this thing, it was like I was suddenly paralyzed. It had deep black eyes that were freezing me in place. It came closer and suddenly took the shape of a slumped over human being with a deer head and had the legs of what I think would be a wolf. Suddenly, two people came walking by calling my name, and this thing turned into an older-looking man and sprinted off like the devil it was. It was so unnaturally fast. It didn't make a sound either. It was so unnatural. Honestly, I was so freaked out that I ran to the two voices, clutched to them, and never separated from my group for the rest of the trip. All these years later, I'm 16 now, and I still think, what happened? I have no idea if this was a skinwalker, or a wendigo, or what. But from listening to the Swamp Dweller stories, and reading some online, I think it might be a skinwalker that we encountered that day in Colorado. Any opinions would be greatly appreciated.
One night years ago, I asked my mother if she had any stories dealing with the paranormal, or with skinwalkers. She explained that she had this story she was about to tell me comes from her cousin, and perhaps is one of the most terrifying encounters I've heard. She explained that her cousin had one day came over to play and hang out with their aunts and uncles and their kids that lived below the hill from them. My mother is the eldest of them all and was tasked along with her sister and eldest cousin to watch over the younger siblings. As the evening was beginning to set, the younger kids were called in for dinner. This left the three girls at least an hour or two to talk. The conversation basically revolved around everyday life on the reservation. The three began to joke, and somehow they began to talk about their paranormal experiences. My mother said at this point her cousin started to become uneasy about the conversation. Finally asking what was bothering her, she looked hesitant at first, but said that she had an intense interaction with a skinwalker when she was younger. After a little more persuading, she relented and began her story. Her story begins one evening when she was asked by her grandma and mom to watch four of the younger kids, while her mom and grandma went to visit a family member. The house they were staying at was her grandma's, which were a traditional hogan. Now the hogan had a rickety door, made up of a long piece of the floorboard and held together with baling wire and rope from the hay bales. The evening was quickly approaching. Her mom and grandma explained that they would be back within the hour, and they would not be far, just a half mile down the road. Like most traditional hogans, the floor was made up of dirt and a single stove in the middle that provided the heat and cooking for the household. As night fully approached, she had put the younger kids to bed and was waiting for her mom and grandma to return. She explained that it was getting really late and her mom and grandma had not yet been returned home, so she made a fire to keep her and the younger kids warm. Then she said the dog started wildly barking, ignoring them and thinking they had just spotted a small animal outside. She continued to wait. Like all reservation homes, they had no electricity, so the light was provided by oil lamps and candles. She said she continued to wait by the oil lamps a while the dogs continued to bark, wildly thinking that her mom and grandma were coming home. She went to the door and had a look. Opening the door, she peeked outside and no one was outside. But the dogs, who were still barking, were now facing a nearby hill. Startled, she quickly closed and tied up the door, not wanting to draw any attention to her. She dimmed the oil lamp and sat quickly next to the sleepless kids. Suddenly, the barking dogs began chasing something around the hogan. It must have circled a few times, she said. Then out of nowhere, she was hit with this strong odor of rotting meat, like an animal that had died out in the sun. Terrified, she said she couldn't contain the fear and began to sob. Waking the kids in the bed, they asked her what was going on. Telling them to be quiet, they sat there in the bed crying uncontrollably, while this thing jumped onto the roof of the hogan. After what felt like an eternity, she saw approaching headlights slowly coming up onto the hogan. Whatever this thing was noticed the headlights and quickly jumped off of the roof. She said after this encounter, all the kids ran out of the house to their grandma crying. Some years later, she asked her mom what they saw that night. Her mom explained that they had lost track of time, and once they realized what time it was, they said their goodnight and headed back home, bringing along with them their uncle, who decided to stay there with the grandma for the night. As they had approached the hogan, they had noticed someone or something on top of the roof. Wondering what was going on, they sped up, and as they came up to the hogan, they finally realized what they had come up upon. It was a skinwalker. She explained its whole entire body was covered in white paint, and it wore coyote skin on top of its head. As they quickly jumped out of the truck, she said it jumped off the roof and ran up the hill. So fast, before they knew it, it was gone. She also said their uncle gave chase after it, picking up an axe and quickly running up the hill to catch it. From there, she said that's when all of us came running out of the hogan. After the experience, the family sought out a healer, and he had explained that it was indeed a skinwalker. He went to explain that it had ill intentions, and the reason it was on top of the roof was that it was planning to kill whoever was inside the hogan by dropping down the stovepipe its bad medicine. Her cousin said that they were all lucky that her mom and grandma were pulling up when they did. If they hadn't, there's no way of knowing if the skinwalker would have gone through with its plan. My mother and aunt were in disbelief after hearing the story, not knowing whether to believe her or not. All they could do was sit in silence until one of them could talk. Upon hearing this story, it chilled me to my core, only thinking, what did it want with them? Knowing its only intentions was to harm, but that's as far as my thoughts go.
I'm not sure how to begin this. Whatever this is, didn't just affect me, but my family in different ways, and it continued to mess with me for years after we moved from the house where it all started. I am trying to take something that did many things over several years and just trim it down into some details that seem important, so I'm sorry if my story reads a little weird or awkward. My grandmother was supposed to have traced her side of the family all the way back to an unregistered family of natives that escaped the Trail of Tears, and after telling a person of this strange thing that I normally kept secret, they suggested that it might be a skimwalker. But I don't know. I know that there was a lot of family strife in that house where the haunting started. This seemingly bubbled to the surface. A spirit there liked to scare me by calling my name, slamming doors, giving me strange nightmares, and even mimicking the voices of my family members. The first time I can think of it appearing is when we were coming back from a round trip at night. Dad was driving, and he hits the brakes hard and swerves because he thought he saw a wolf with no eyes step out in front of our lane and look at our oncoming car. Because everyone else was asleep, he was the only one to see it, and there was nobody around to suggest that anything had physically been there. The second time I think it showed itself was many years after. We had long moved from the house that this all started in. I was home alone at night messaging a friend, and I see a huge figure walking up the road. I froze in fear as it approached and eventually passed by the house we were living in. What I remember was something with a strange skull, kind of like a vervain monkey skull, as a head or covering its head, and the rest was completely hidden behind a cloak of some sort of dark-colored fur. I have not seen this thing for quite a while now, but while it was around, or possibly pursuing me, it had caused a lot of hardship for me and my family. I remember that if I talked or thought about it too much, it would draw its attention back to me when it seemed like it had left, and I would have to let my guard down. Whatever it is, it always made me feel terrified and unsafe. I used to have symbols of protection from whatever religion I could think of to try to find some sort of protection from it. I am not sure what this entity is, but it's not a story I share very much, as I know how it sounds, and I do not want to go through the normal ridicule and dismissive comments. I kind of think it might be a skimwalker or something similar, but I'm not sure. Any comments would be very helpful. A year ago, I encountered something on the mountains. Perchance I found this show about a year later, and I would love to know your opinion. So, I'm pretty shaken up, and honestly, I don't really know how to describe what happened or what I saw. I swear this story is entirely true, and to be honest, I'm kind of hoping that maybe somebody listening to the show can help me make sense of this in a way that does not equal monsters in the woods. For some context, I live in a small neighborhood on the top of a mountain. I am a member and live on the eastern band of Cherokee Reservation. I'm 22, live with my 22-year-old wife and with our soon-to-be 3-year-old son. Basically, I have a cat who is mainly outside. I tried to call him in one night, and some neighborhood dogs that are basically just very annoying but won't do much are all pests, and they usually chase him off. These dogs do nothing but kill pets, spread trash throughout the entire neighborhood, and even attack people. I chased the dogs off, but my cat took off deep into the woods. We recently lost our other cat to these dogs, so I am worried that they will be back and get a hold of my cat. I know my way around the woods, so I grab a machete, flashlight, and head into the woods. Nothing really happens until I hear those dogs further in chasing something. I run towards it, worried I'm about to find them ripping apart my cat. As I'm getting closer, I realize the sounds of distress I am hearing are not of a cat, but of a dog. I quickly turn off my light and get low. I move closer and quietly to see what is going on. Now keep in mind, it was of course very dark, but I swear to God that before my eyes was a very thin creature, reminiscent of a pumpkin head from those old horror movies. There was something like tentacles, or I don't really know, honestly. And this thing was using its hands and tentacles or whatever just to tear into this poor dog. The entire time it was making this noise like a creaking door. I crept away as far as I could, threw up, then ran home. I locked up the house, came to the bedroom where my son and wife were sleeping, and watched the doors till the sun came up. Honestly, what do you guys think I encountered? Some people have said Skinwalker, some have said Fleshgate, but honestly, I have no words. When I was younger, between the ages of 3 and 11 years old, I lived in a trailer with my stepdad, my mom, and my younger brother. We lived in a very small town in northern Minnesota. The town has less than 100 residents. The center of town was about a mile away, and down the street was about 6 to 7 houses. I lived in the middle one. On the left of our trailer was the front door, our playground, a strip of border trees, and a crop field. Corn, to be specific. On the right of our trailer was the back door. Its door handle was broken, and we didn't have the money to fix it at the time. This led into a fenced-in area for our dogs, then another border strip of trees, a daycare on the other side, and less than a half mile down the road was a cemetery. To the front of our house was the road and cornfield. To the back was our house and our backyard, which was bordered by tall, thick weeds, an empty field, with a trail that led from our house to the woods, which was a little less than a half mile from our house. At the time, we were very poor, which is why we could not fix a lot of things in our house, even if we needed them, like the back door. The layout of the trailer went like this. Towards the road and the front end was my room, the furthest from anyone, a small bathroom and a hallway, the front door, living room, kitchen and dining room, then a long hallway towards the back. On the left side of the hallway, more towards the back, was my brother's room, and right across from that was the back door, then in the very back was my parents' room. My dad was pretty abusive to me, so in the middle of the night I would run away, which was more just sneaking out and hiding out under our front porch, for probably an hour or two, and then sneaking back into my room. At one point when I had done it, my stepdad got mad, broke our porch light, and I couldn't see anything. I was 7 or 8 at the time. One night was so particularly bad, I left at like midnight or 1 a.m. and went under the porch. I was there maybe 30 minutes, then I tried to go back inside. Little did I know my stepdad was still mad and locked me out. At this point I was 9 years old, so I freaked out. I started crying at the door trying to get it open. All the lights were off inside, so it was almost pitch black outside, aside from the street light. I was still crying when I heard a sound coming from the woods. It sounded like crying. So I stopped, thinking it was echoing or something. But it never stopped. The crying sound did not sound like an animal or anything. It sounded like someone had recorded a person crying. Honestly, it kind of sounded like me. I panicked, fear tearing through me. I tried the door harder, but I couldn't get it to open. I'll just run to Mom's window, I had thought. As I was about to, the crying sounded closer than it did before. It was a continuous crying, but it was coming towards me. My face began to heat up and tears started to line my vision. Back door, the words popped into my head. The doorknob is broken, I can get in. I paused and listened to the crying. It still sounded closer to the woods than me, so I took my chance. I ran around the front of the house, paused before I reached the side, and then the crying stopped. This was my chance. It went away, or so I thought. I booked it to the fence. The latch was stuck. I tried to push it up, and just as it started to slide up, there was a whisper from the tall border weeds no more than 15 feet away from where I was facing. Come here. Come here. Come here. The words became stretched out, and honestly horrifying. It sounded like a very old, slow, distorted sound from an old handheld recorder. I pushed the fence gate open and slammed the latch back down, ran up our decaying steps, all two of them, and flung open the door. I slammed it shut and pushed a heavy box in front of it. I booked it down the hallway through the living room and right into my room. I closed my window quietly and let the blanket fall over it so nothing could see in. I turned off the lights and turned on a movie very softly and crawled into the top bunk and waited out the night. I could hear walking around the trailer and then crying. I wanted to scream at it, but I didn't want it to find me. When morning came, I told my mom about my stepdad locking me out, but not about what happened. She, of course, screamed at him and he apologized and said he thought I was inside. I knew he was lying because he did this constantly, honestly. But that's not the point of the story. I never really figured out what that creature was. I would often look out towards the field and hear what sounded like coyotes, but they would always sound distorted. Sometimes I'll see these interesting glowing red orbs that I'm pretty sure are eyes in the tree line. I honestly don't know what is living out in those woods, but I honestly don't think I care to. Okay, so I'm a 16-year-old male, and I live in the suburbs on the East Coast in a town with a population of about 25,000 people. It was a normal night a couple of years ago. I do not remember exactly what I was doing that night, except that I was on my way home when this happened. I was in the car with my dad and my little brother. My dad is an alcoholic and used to verbally and physically abuse my whole family. And as much as I'd love to divulge into the horror of my upbringing, this is the only detail relevant because even though my father is now sober, I'm still very uncomfortable around him. But my little brother was too young to remember much from when he was abusive and is much closer with him. So when we ride in the car, my brother sits in the front with my dad, talking about whatever, and I sit in the back listening to my music with my headphones, falling into my thoughts while staring out the window. This night, while I was on my way home, was no different. I remember we were almost back, maybe about 5 minutes away, and we were coming up on passing a church. I got the immediate goosebumps when I laid my eyes on it for some reason. Then I was rushed with an overwhelming fear of terror and couldn't look away from the church as we grew nearer and nearer, fearing something bad would happen if I did. Now, I listen to horror story narrations, read all kinds of things on Reddit, love horror movies, go to every haunted house in my area, and spend lots of time outside late at night when the weather permits it, going to the woods and abandoned places with my friends. So this unexpected feeling of terror, on a completely normal night surrounded by what I knew as a safe place, made me feel very unusual. As we get nearer to the church, I see two deer in front of it on the lawn. One is laying on its side, and the other is standing, and it has its head bent towards the other's stomach. The deer on its side is dead, and the other deer has giant black horns that almost look like the horns on the helmet Hela wears in the Marvel movie Thor Ragnarok. They were massive, and it looked like the deer should not have even been able to support their weight. At this point, I'm frozen in fear, when I realize the one standing up is devouring the dead one. And as we passed by it, it looked at me straight in the eyes. It felt cold and angry. I knew any intentions this thing had were malicious. This is weird, but locking eyes with it almost made me feel like it knew me, like it stared into my soul and explored every nook and cranny of my brain. Thinking about the feeling still sends a shiver down my spine because it was so unnatural, uncomfortable, and downright terrifying. You could say that to describe everything about this creature, honestly. The skin had begun to rot off its face, and I could see parts of its skull. It had sharp, shiny teeth and was covered in blood. My father and brother didn't seem to notice anything, and I thought maybe I was just seeing things. But that primal fear convinced me what I was seeing was real, because I've never felt any kind of fear as real as that. I was truly scared for my life. In those few moments passing by this thing, I could feel its rage. It was almost tangible, and it felt awful. I knew that it wanted to kill anything or anyone, and it would do anything for the satisfaction. I believe me noticing its presence made me its next immediate target, which would explain why I was the only one affected by its presence. My father and brother both unalarmed enough to not even notice it. Thank God I was in the car, and we passed it, and that night went on as usual. I couldn't stop thinking about it, though. So I went to the church the next day early in the morning and found the dead deer. All of its fur was skinned off, and it had a huge hole in it. Upon looking inside, I could see that its body was completely hollow. No blood or organs. Just the skeleton. It was so creepy, I don't know. It was gone before the day was over. I still have no idea what happened that night, but I haven't seen anything similar. I don't know if this was a skinwalker, or a Wendigo, or whatever. All I know is that it scared the crap out of me, and I hope I never see anything like it, ever again. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true Skinwalker Encounter horror stories. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm, and that helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. We're getting very close to 200,000 subscribers, and that would be awesome to hit before the end of the year. If you enjoyed my friend Jensen, who read story number 2, please be sure to check out his channel and subscribe. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description down below. It would really mean a lot to me. I think you guys would like his channel. If you guys are on the go and don't have YouTube Premium, and you still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories, you can do so and download them for free on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. The best part is it's absolutely free. If you want to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe consider checking out our merch store. I've got t-shirts, face masks, hoodies, mugs, and everything else you could think of. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you guys. You guys are truly the lifeline of the Swamp. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.